Have Brother Smith back with us tonight. I'm looking forward to a good message tonight, and I know he's ready, and we're ready to receive. Come on, Brother Smith.
Thank you, preacher. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. Man, I enjoyed the singing. And enjoyed the specials, Brother Wiggins. You know, Brother Wiggins, when he sings, reminds me a lot of myself. We both have one head, two arms, and two legs, and the resemblance ends there. That's the end of the similarities. If I hit a high note like that, they'd have to take me to the hospital. That was good. Thank you. And I hope you can say God has been good. If you'll give Him half a chance, He will be good in your life. He's a lot better than a bunch of hell-deserving sinners deserve. And I'm telling you, you're looking at one preacher that never regrets one minute surrendering my life to the call of God to preach the Word of God. I hear people talk about all they gave up when God called them. I'd have been a failure without God. I'd have been a flop. If my life ever amounts to anything, it's because of Jesus Christ. And I don't regret one second surrendering my life to Him. What a wonderful life He's given me, a wonderful wife, family, churches, people that have loved me. And if I had 10,000 lives to live, I'd want to be His preacher in every one of them. Now, yeah, you're going to run into some sorry devils along the way, but Jesus did too. Okay? But my, my. The churches I've preached in and the people I've pastored have been far better to me than this old boy deserves. God has been good. He has been good. Have you found your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you can stand with me, and we'll read two verses for our message tonight. The Bible says in verse number 19, what? Hey, like that one word sentence. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Powerful verses. Let's read them again. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Oh my. How many times a day do you remind yourself that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God lives in every Christian. God doesn't live in this building here. He lives in the building not made with hands. Our body is His temple. And then look at the last verse. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I want to confess to you tonight that I don't have much of an outline. But I've got a sermon thought that God's given me that if God will allow me to drive that home tonight, you're going to think about it in your Christian life for the rest of your life. Here's what I want to speak to you about. Before I give you that, let's read that last verse again. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here's my thought. Is God getting all He paid for out of your life? When I was a little boy and we'd always trading something with somebody else, and we ended up not getting the trade we thought we was getting, we'd say, man, he gypped me. He gypped me. Means he took advantage of me. I got the short end of the deal. You're not gypping God with your life, are you? God who gave you so much and lives in you says, now then, because I've purchased you and I live in you, I've redeemed you. Glorify me. Glory from your body and your spirit, which are His. Is God getting all He paid for out of your life? Father in heaven, help me tonight as I bring this message. Lord, I want you to use me tonight to encourage and strengthen and your children, your people. I need your help. I would be foolish to think I can stand here and preach without you. It's the most wonderful place in the world behind this sacred desk when your anointing is upon the preacher. It's the most fearful place and the most lonely place when you're standing in your own power and your own energy. God, I need your help tonight. Fill me, use me. Help the words to be clear and plain and simple to understand. And may the least person here understand exactly what's being said and do a work in our hearts, we ask it, starting with this preacher. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Is God getting all He paid for from your life? The greatest fact in all the world is revealed in the Scripture that we've just read. We are redeemed. We've been bought with the price of love and sacrifice by Jesus Christ. Did you ever stop to think that man is the only redeemed creature in all of God's universe? Man alone has cost the Lord His life and His shed blood. Angels have never experienced God's redemption. In angels, there is an exhibition of divine wisdom and power and goodness. But they know absolutely nothing of God's free grace and dying love. Only on the redeemed sinner is the divine blood mark of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Think about this. Man has cost God more than the entire universe cost God. God stepped out on nothing in the beginning. And with the power of His omnipotence, He spoke the worlds into existence. He made the sun, the moon, the stars from nothing. God made all the fish and the fowl and the animals by the power of His omnipotence. He did it all by divine decree. And then from the dust of the ground, God made man in His own image and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Not one thing in His creation at up to this point has cost God even one red penny. But in order to redeem one sinner from the condemnation of hell, God must endure the loss of His own precious Son as payment for the wages of our sin. We're not our own. We belong to Jesus. God has given to us free salvation through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. He bought us. And He has given us, according to John chapter 17, He has given us to Jesus Christ. He bought us. He's redeemed us. We're His by redemption. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. We're a love gift to the Son from our Heavenly Father. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. The saved have been bought from the slave market of sin. We were in bondage. We were condemned already. If God gave us what we deserved, the very best of us would have split hell wide open. But God saved us and He redeemed us, not because of our goodness, but because of His grace and mercy He has redeemed us. He remembered us in our lowest state, the Scripture says. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. And as a Christian tonight, is God getting all He paid for out of your life? Been bought from the slave market of sin. We've been bought from the judgment of hell. We can talk about how good certain people are, but the truth is, the best person you've ever known, born of man and woman in this world, is just a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, saved by God's grace. We can put on the dog. We can make a show of it. We can act like we're somebody super special, but we're just a sinner saved by grace. Every last one of us that's saved. We have nothing to boast about except Jesus Christ, who reached down into the depths of sin and picked us up and washed us by His own blood, gave us life everlasting through the suffering and bleeding and dying of Jesus Christ. He saved us from the slave market of sin. He saved us from the judgment of hell. He saved us from the failure of our own life. You listen to me tonight. If you take life in your own hands and you live it according to your own will and your own pleasure, you're going to end up, when you stand before God, a failure. When we got saved, God gave us a purpose. A purpose connected with the divine will of God, the created plan of God. We were created for a purpose. We came into this world with a purpose. God saved us for a purpose. God didn't save us just for us. He saved us for Him. You know, one of the amazing things I read in the Scripture over in the book of Isaiah, when it talks about He blotted out our sins with His own hand for His namesake. Didn't do it for our name. He did it for His namesake. God created us. He saved us. We're twice His. He redeemed us. He bought us back at the price of His own Son. I'm glad you're not God and you had to provide salvation. I promise you, I don't know many people that I've given one of my children for. And yet God looked down at us and we were on our way to hell without hope and without God. And God said, I've got an only begotten Son that I'm going to send down there to be nailed to an old rugged cross. And there on that cross, I'm going to pour out my wrath upon my Son for you. Your sin's going to be paid for in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that's what happened to every one of us. Not one of us can boast about being good. There's none good, no, not one. If God, we don't deserve anything better than hell. The goodness of God in our life is because of His marvelous grace and His redeeming blood. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. If you wish to see the value God places upon your body, your soul, and your spirit, just look to Christ dying on that old rugged cross. He didn't pay one red penny to redeem a fallen angel. But He laid down the life of His own Son as my sacrificial lamb and yours, paying the price of our sin, dying on that old rugged cross. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. And I've got to ask you again, is God getting all He paid for out of your life? Now, say in the first place that God and even the world has a right to expect more from a Christian than from anybody else. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. When we say we're saved, when we say we're God's child, we're claiming more than others can claim. And we ought to render more than others render. Paul reminds the Corinthians that Christ did not die just to purchase our soul, but every part of our being belongs to God, body, soul, and spirit. Even though these Corinthians were saved, they were not living holy and clean lives for God. They indulged sin and wickedness willfully with little or no thought of God or His will. They tried to excuse their personal indulgence into sexual and lustful sins by saying that they were saved by grace. And what they did in the body of flesh was not important to God. Sounds like they were Baptists. Too often we act as though it's not important to God how we live, how we act, how we think. But Paul brings our thinking back to reality in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 when he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and ye have which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His." I'm going to ask that question over and over again tonight for my message. Is God getting all He paid for out of your life? Let me ask in the first place here, is God getting all He paid for out of your body? Now think about it. This old body is carnal, it's fleshly, it is pulled by sin every day of our life. And yet God said, we're not our own, we've been bought with a price, therefore we're to glorify God in our body. In our body. Well, it doesn't matter how I live, what I do, where I go, how I dress, how I talk. It does to God. God says He wants glory out of our body. Did you ever stop to think everything we do for God in this world, we have to do in this body of flesh? Every now and then we'll have some of these pseudo-spiritual Christians say, "Well, preacher, you know, I couldn't be there Sunday, but I was there in spirit." You know, those pseudo-spiritual Christians never really helped the church. I want to see them there in body. I want to see them there in body. "Well, preacher, my heart's there. My body was in my deer stand. My heart's there. My body was in my boat." God says that the most vile thing about our being, this old body of flesh, carnal, worldly, lustful, sold under sin, it's a magnet for sin. It just draws sin. It's a Satan magnet, this old body of flesh. Yet God redeemed us. He said, "Your soul and spirit that's been born again, live in that body.
And I live in that body.
Therefore, live in such a way that I get glory from your body. Is God getting all He paid for out of your body? Now, I want to tell you something. Our soul and spirit are saved. When we got saved, the new birth took place when God quickened our spirit and suddenly it was made alive again. It died in Adam because of sin. It's made alive in Jesus Christ. Our eternal soul is saved because of Jesus Christ. But this old body isn't saved yet. Do you know that? God said, now this old body is going to be changed. The salvation of our body will catch up with our soul and spirit when Jesus comes again. Okay? We'll see the salvation of our body then. It's just waiting the change, the glorification, the resurrection, or the rapture. So, everything I do for God in this world, I've got to do in this body of flesh. Yes, I'm to pray in the Spirit, but I have to do it out of a tabernacle of clay, of flesh. And God says, I deserve to get glory, not just out of your spirit, but out of your body too. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God says it's reasonable for me to expect you to live in such a way in your body so that I'm glorified by your daily life, your walk, the way you live, the way you act, the way you dress, the people you run with, where you go. Is God getting all He paid for out of your body? You know, it's hard to come to church without bringing your body with you. Now, I promise you, there's some of you tonight, if not most of us, heard the old flesh say, tired, won't stay home tonight. Nobody had a gun to your head and made you come tonight. Well, maybe the preacher's kids. You came tonight because you want to honor Him, because you love Him. And by the way, that love for Him is the basis for which we do all things, that we obey Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we're going to serve God, we got to serve Him in this body of flesh. And God wants us to live in such a way and keep this body of flesh under submission, crucified. Paul said, I die daily. We have a tendency to pamper our flesh. How many of you teenagers get up to the mirror and say, you're not trying to do anything spiritual. You're checking out your muscles. It's such a little thing, it don't take long. But God wants you to serve Him in such a way in your body of flesh that you can bring glory to Him. Now, I told you in one of the other sermons, the unsaved world does not understand the Scripture. The only Scripture they understand is the gospel according to your life. And the sad thing is that we've got too many Baptists today living the gospel according to the HIV. Or some other perversion. I said it that way purposely. God wants us to give Him glory. I'm overwhelmed at the thought that God would not only save me, but live in me. God in me, the hope of glory. God living in you and in you. That overwhelms me. If the governor or a senator was to come to your house, you'd make sure the house you live in is clean and in order and ready to receive him. Are you keeping the house God lives in order so he could get glory from your life? When the world's... Someone said, what's wrong with Christianity? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. We're living in such a way that the world's having more influence on us than we are on the world. Is God getting all he paid for out of your body? He said we're to keep our bodies morally clean. We're to live in such a way that we have a holy testimony. Now, don't get upset at the word holy. It means God-like. And if God lives in you, shouldn't he be seen through you? If God lives in you, should not he affect the outside also? Is God getting all he paid for out of your body? Now, we're never going to be perfect. We're not talking about sinless perfection. The greatest Christian I know of is the Apostle Paul. And according to Romans chapter 7, he fought every day with this body of flesh. Every day. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He never gave in. He never gave up. He never gave over. Every time the flesh got a little strong, he'd crucify it. Now, let me give you a secret. You can die to the flesh today. And you go to bed at night and while you're sleeping, the devil gives the flesh CPR. And in the morning when you wake up, the flesh is strong again. And you've got to die again. Crucify the flesh. Dedicated to God, separated unto God. Is God getting all he paid for? God values us much more than the average Christian values their relationship with Jesus Christ. How a person compromises with sin and with the world reveals his true opinion of Calvary. And the value of his redemption. Is God getting all he paid for out of your body? Secondly, is God getting all he paid for out of your spirit? Now, that spirit is not Holy Spirit. It's the job of the Holy Spirit not to magnify himself, but to magnify Jesus, to glorify Jesus. There's no question about the Holy Spirit's work. But he says you're to glorify me in your body and in your spirit. What do you mean, preacher? How's your attitude? You know, I know some Christians, when I see them coming, I look for an exit. They live in the realm of stinking thinking. They've got rotten spirits. They're critical, they're bitter, they're fault-finding. I don't want to be around them. Right now, you're thinking of somebody, aren't you? But you know what's worse? Somebody may be thinking of you. Is God getting all he paid for out of your spirit? He says, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. Which are his. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How's your heart? Your heart affects your spirit. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Filthiness of the flesh, we understand. But he said filthiness of the spirit needs to be cleansed also. Have you ever fallen on your face at an altar before and confessed to God that you've got a rotten spirit? A spirit that does not magnify Him or glorify Him. A spirit that hinders your relationship with others. A spirit that hinders your testimony. See, Jesus didn't die for us just to get us to heaven. He died for us so that we could be His witness in a world going to hell. The number one mandate from God for the church and every Christian is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And how are you going to represent Christ as God deserves Christ to be represented if we're living like the devil in our body and we have a spirit that's rotten and stinking and bitter and critical? Is God getting all He paid for in our spirit? And let me say something to you. It may be that the root sin of most of our sins of the flesh come from a wrong spirit. Remember David's great sin with Bathsheba? Psalm 51, David's repenting. He's getting right with God. And in that psalm, the most amazing thing in Psalm 51, verse 10, when he's getting right with God, when he's repenting, he says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Now, good Baptists have confessed sins of the flesh. But have you ever got on your knees and confessed sins of your spirit? Bad spirit may be the root sin that's going to result in you going further and further and further into degradation and sin. And we're never going to be right with God. David couldn't be right with God just confessing his adultery because he had a bad spirit also. He had to deal with that. And then in verse 13 of Psalm 51, he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." And then he said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." It may be before your testimony and your ministry is ever going to be effective for God, you need to fall on your face and begin to ask God to forgive you, not just of sins of the flesh, of the body, but the sin of a rotten spirit, a rotten attitude, a critical attitude, a negative, fault-finding attitude. Hey, we can't be half right and half wrong. We're either right with God or we're not right with God. And you can't neglect that part of our life and just deal with the other part. God said, "I bought it all. And I want glory from body and spirit. They're mine. Now you need to give them to me." Just as we dedicate our body to... There was a time I knelt at an altar and my wife knelt at an altar, and we dedicated to God our life and our body to try to magnify Christ through our outward testimony and appearance. Oh my, there's many times we have to go and say, "Oh God, the sin of the Spirit's hindering me. Forgive me." God's never going to get all He paid for out of our life until we glorify Him in our body and our spirit, which are His. Then may I say thirdly, is God getting all He paid for out of your service? God didn't save us to sit. God God saved us, and it is His will for our life that we be His servant. I know you're an independent Baptist, and you're willing to serve anywhere in an advisory capacity. But how about rolling up your sleeves and get down to the nitty-gritty of service? Somebody's got to work the nursery. Somebody's got to take on the responsibility of teaching and trying to mold a bunch of brain-dead teenagers. You do know teenagers, they're perfectly sweet and normal through their 12th year, and when they get 13 years old, something happens. They go brain-dead, and they don't really get over it until they're about 20 years old. Somebody's got to be willing to minister to them. Oh, let's hire somebody because nobody else wants to do it. But you know, God really does love them too. He loves the simple things of this world. Hey guys, you only have one youth. You'll never be a teenager again. The most exciting, energetic time of your life, God wants you to give it to Him. And as a Christian teenager, glorify Him in your body and your spirit. Some of the greatest Christians I know are teenagers that have said, I'm not going to keep my life for me. I'm going to give it to God. I want God to get what He paid for out of my life. God didn't pay less for you than He did for your daddy and your mama. It took the same shed blood and the same suffering of Jesus to save you. You are blessed because you got saved before you wasted half of your life. You can give God the best of your life instead of, like so many, giving Him the leftovers of your life. God deserves all He paid for out of your life. I want to ask you, is God getting what He paid for from your life? Now, I know teenagers say, well, how about Sue or Jerry or Joe? Forget them. How about you? I can't do anything about anybody else. The decisions I make have got to affect me and me alone. I've got to make that decision to give Him all He paid for. You're important to God, and God's never needed a strong youth department in a world today like He needs it today. The world's going to hell. And somebody needs to say to the teenagers, there's a life beyond drugs. There's a life beyond immorality. There's a life outside of the devil's program. And God deserves all He paid for out of your life, just like He deserves all He paid for out of my life. Is God getting all He paid for out of your service? How are you serving God? So many times we as teenagers just think about our fun, our games, our plans, what program we want to get in, what game we've got. But God saved you to serve Him. Some of the greatest soul winners I've ever met in the 48 years of my ministry have been teenagers. Brother Mike Ray pastors Hopewell Baptist Church in Napa, California. Brother Mike got saved under our ministry when he was 12 years old. He came into my office one day when he was 13 and said, Brother Smith, I want to learn how to lead someone to Christ. The only thing, he didn't say it like that, he stuttered. Had a bad stuttering problem. And he is short, still is. I showed him how to lead someone to Christ. Sat on my couch and drew a map in his Bible. He became one of the outstanding soul-winning young people I've ever known in my life. And he is one of the outstanding soul-winning pastors I know of today. Started when he was a young man that said, I'm going to start giving God all He paid for out of my life. Is God getting all He paid for out of your service? Are you serving only where you want to serve? Let me suggest a novel idea. Since God has a will for our life, why don't you ask Him, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to serve? God has a plan for your life. He also has a place for your life. God said to Elijah, you go preach this message to Ahab and tell him it's not going to rain until you tell it to. Then you go up to the brook Cherith and I'll send the ravens to feed thee there. If he hadn't obeyed God and gone to exactly the place where God told him to, he'd have starved to death during that drought. The ravens brought bread and flesh, steak and hot rolls twice a day to one place, the place of God's will for Elijah's life, the brook Cherith. And then when the brook dried up, he said, Elijah, I want you to go down to Zarephath, and I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And the Bible says Elijah went to Zarephath and the widow woman was there. God's got a plan for your life, but He's got a place for your life. And if we're going to give God all He paid for out of our life and out of our service, then we need to get concerned about just not only what God wants us to do, but where does He want us to do it? In a Sunday school class, a bus route on the mission field, in a pastorate, somewhere, we've got to realize that God saved us and left us here for His purpose. And He is to receive glory from our life. Is God getting all He paid for out of your service? Nextly, is God getting all He paid for out of your love life? He said, oh, preacher, what are you talking about? All of God's creation was created for man except man. Man was created for God. God wanted someone to love and someone who could freely give that love back to Him. We're created for Him. And He said, I want you to love me with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. In all things, He's to have the preeminence. Jesus said it a different way to the church at Ephesus. He said, I intend to be your first love. And I've got something against you because you've left your first love. He didn't say you lost your first love. He said you left your first love. Is God getting all He paid for out of your love life? Think about it. Where are you putting your time and energy? Where are you putting your treasure, your money? You know, if all I leave in this life is the record of my checkbook, it ought to tell anybody that looks at it who's first love in my life. For where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. Is He your first love? Is God getting all He paid for out of your love life? Now let me conclude by this. There's some facts that we must face when we don't get all we paid for out of something. If you don't get all you paid for out of something, first of all, that item's not functional like it's supposed to be. It's not working right. I had a preacher friend that saw an ad in the paper for a desk and a chair. And it was a bargain born. He went there and he paid a ridiculously low price for it. And it was all sales final, no return, no refund. He got it home, had a desk, had a chair, but one of the legs was broken on the chair. He said, I tried everything I knew to use that, the way I knew to use that chair with three legs. I'd try to balance it on three legs and it'd tip over. He said, I'd get books and I'd stack underneath that one leg that was broken and then I couldn't move it. It just wasn't functional because he didn't get what he paid for. And when we don't give God what he paid for in our lives, we're not functional as Christians. We just don't work right because we're not giving God all he paid for out of our lives. Secondly, when we don't get all we paid for, that item could be dangerous. One time, I bought a swing set, a fancy swing set for my girls. I put it together for them. It had slides, it had trapezes, it had swings, it had a teeter-totter. But there was a guide bar at the top on each side of the place where the teeter-totter attached that kept it from going this way and made it possible just to go this way. That was missing. I hooked it up and the thing would hit the leg and I thought, I can't have that. It's dangerous. I didn't get all I paid for. I didn't want one of my girls to come in with a broken arm or a broken leg. I didn't get all I paid for, and it was dangerous for them to swing on that teeter-totter. The most dangerous thing to the cause of Christ in this world today is a Christian that doesn't give God all he paid for out of their lives. You see, the unsaved world measures Christianity by them. And that's the reason our churches and our Christian testimony is so deluded and polluted by the world today. Because they're looking at a Christian that doesn't give God all he paid for. Not only is it not functional and it's dangerous, it's bad advertising. Worst advertisement this church has are members that are not giving God what he paid for out of their life. They measure this church by that Christian that's not giving God all he paid for. They're measuring God by that Christian that's not giving God all. Well, God doesn't mind. Look at old brother so-and-so over here. He chews and he dips and he curses. He drinks. Wouldn't it be terrible for somebody to use you as an excuse for their carnal ways when they stand before God? God says, I bought you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. It's bad advertisement. Let me give you an example. Back in the 80s, now some of you won't remember that, but back in the 80s, there was a fuel shortage, a gas shortage, and everybody was trying to beat the gas shortage and is buying diesels. And General Motors thought they'd get ahead of the game and they'd take a 1980 Oldsmobile and take a gasoline engine and convert it to diesel. Any of y'all ever remember those? There was one in our town, and this man had lemons painted on the side of it, had lemons stuck on the air the radio antenna. He is saying to everybody, they're lemons. You don't get what you paid for. Guess what? That wasn't the best advertisement General Motors had. It was bad advertisement. And so is it true with us when we don't give God all he paid for? We're bad advertisement. And then lastly, when we don't give God all he paid for from our lives, don't expect God to display you in a place of honor. When I buy something and it's not what I paid for, I throw it in a junk box. Grew up down in East Texas in a little town called Myrtle Springs. Went to school in Wills Point. But every first Monday in Canton, the county seat of Van Zandt County, they had what they call First Monday. They still have it, but it's not like it used to be. It's Thursday through Sunday now, back then, or through that first Monday. Back then, it was just Monday. All of those buildings didn't exist. They had a street around the square, and one street was Dog Street, one street was Cow Street, one was Hart Street, one was Implement Street, one was Farm Tools, one was... Hey, man, I loved to go to First Monday. I'd hear my daddy and my uncles talk about going down there and trading up. And I thought, man, I'm going to do that. The only thing, school was in session. And they didn't let out for First Monday. So I planned to ride the bus to school, get off the bus, go around the bus, head out to the road and hitchhike down to Canton. Lunches cost a quarter then. I had 25 cents. And I already had my mind made up. I was going to go down to Canton. I was going to buy something for a quarter. And I was going to start trading at First Monday. And I thought, man, I'll come back with a 22 rifle. I'll come back with a horse. No pig. I'll come back. I'm going to trade up. And I got down there and I went all over that place looking for something for a quarter. And I found nothing. I was discouraged and I was ready to go home and face the music. Mama was going to find out. Daddy's going to find out. And I knew I was going to the barn. Not to feed the cows either. I was walking around the square and walking by the old Eubanks hardware store, and there's a man in the back of a pickup. And had a clothes hanger around his neck and a microphone taped to that clothes hanger. And plugged into a little 12-volt amplifier and a speaker. And the back of his pickup was covered with brown paper bags stapled. 6 pair of socks for a quarter. 6 pair of socks for a quarter. I said, hot dogs, I can buy something for a quarter. I said, I'm going to buy those 6 pair of socks. I don't have time to trade up. But I'm going to buy them for two reasons. Number one, I've never had 6 pair of socks at one time in my life. And number two, maybe Mama, if she found out I bought socks with my quarter, she wouldn't beat the daylights out of me. So I said, I want 6 pair of those socks. Give me that bag right there. And he reached over and got the bag, gave it to me. I gave him the quarter, and I started out to the highway getting ready to hitchhike back to Myrtle Springs and walk the mile and a half on to my house. I couldn't wait to open that bag. I tore it open, and sure enough, I had 6 pair of socks in that bag. One pair, the feet were about that long, and the top was about that long. Another pair, the top was about that long, and the feet were about that long. There was not one sock in that sack that would fit me. I didn't get what I paid for. I didn't walk home and go in the house and say, Mama, you're not going to believe what I bought today. I walked through the house, walked to the back porch, screened-in back porch, and Mama kept an old bag box back there she kept rags in. And I threw those 6 pair of socks in the rag bag because I didn't get what I paid for. I wonder how many Christians God's going to end up throwing in the rag bag because he's not getting what he paid for out of our lives. The greatest fear of the Apostle Paul was that having preached to others, he'd become a castaway. I ask you one more time, is God getting all he paid for out of your life? Father, that's our message tonight. Would you speak to our hearts? Oh, dear God, how we need you. The gift of redemption, of salvation that we have, money couldn't buy. We couldn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But out of love and on the merit of grace, you reached down to us and you saved us. You gave us life everlasting. And said to us, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. And God, help each of us on this very night of revival to determine that from this day forth, we're going to do everything in our ability to see that God gets all He paid for out of our lives. Someone needs to come and say, God, I've claimed You by faith. I'm saved, but I've been using my body for myself, and You've got no glory out of my body. I've lived the way I wanted to, not the way You want me to. God, I want to confess my sin tonight. Ask You to cleanse me. Someone's going to have to come tonight and say, God, I've had a terrible spirit. It's been critical and bitter and fault-finding, hurtful. Hadn't been what You wanted me to be. You haven't been getting all You've paid for out of my life. And I need to confess a wrong spirit and ask You, Lord, to forgive me and renew a right spirit within me. Some need to come, Lord, and say, my service has not been acceptable in that side. I've done as little as I could get by with. Just enough to say I'm serving, but not doing what You'd have me to do or the way You'd have me to do it. And tonight, I want to ask You to forgive me. And I want to begin to give You all You paid for out of my life. Some need to come tonight and say, Father, I've let other things push You off of the throne of love in my heart. And I've loved things more than You. I've not given You that first love and that best love. And I want to come and ask You to forgive me. Lord, it may be that You're speaking to someone about surrendering their life to serve You in a special way. Maybe You're calling someone to preach tonight or to be a missionary. Help them to come and make that surrender and help them to realize they cannot serve enough and disobey the call of God on their life. If they're going to give You what You paid for, then they're going to have to surrender to Your call and Your will. Help them to do that tonight. Father, work in each of our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, You do those things and bring conviction in areas that I didn't even mention. Help us to obey You tonight. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet. Ask yourself the question tonight. Am I honestly giving God all He paid for out of my life? If not, perhaps you need to find a place at an altar. Revival is not for a bunch of right people just to rejoice in their being right. But it's a place for renewing that spirit within us. It's a place to get right with God. It's a place to yield ourselves to God. It's a place to be vived again, revived, set afire, made alive, usable. As we begin to sing right now, God spoke to your heart. Be willing to step out and come. Will you do that? Will you do that? Is God getting all He paid for from your life? I don't know. Only You can answer that. God knows. God knows. Is there a young person tonight that would say, God, I'm going to give You that first place in my life. From this night forward, would You come? Would You come? How about a Sunday school teacher that says, God, I've not really been doing my best, just getting by, but I want to come and ask You to forgive me. I want to ask You to help me to give You all You paid for out of my life. Would You come? Would You come?
Thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming.
We'll sing one more verse and then I'll turn it over to the preacher. It may be that you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you're saved. You'd like to have that peace and assurance. Come tonight and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. This can be that red letter day for you and for all of your eternity. Settle it forever by trusting Jesus.
Certainly we can carry home with us and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in our hearts. There's not a person in here who can't say that there's some area of that message that didn't touch you, and some areas of improvement that we can make, and again remind us, each of us, we know that we can't make those improvements on our own. The Holy Spirit has to do it. Let's just fall down before Him and say, Lord, we need You. We need You to help us. Give Him all we got. Amen. Be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, same time, same place, same cool building, Lord willing. Right?